You've landed on Faith and Family. I'm the temporary host, Rod Zwanitzer, welcoming you in this day. And this week, we are having the theme, the family theme of fun in the sun. Today, we're going to look at staycations. Yesterday, we looked at grandparents and grandkids, had great fun with that, and I know we'll have fun with staycations this day as well. Now, you can participate. We encourage that. In the St. Louis area, call us at 314-505-7850 or worldwide 1-800-730-2727, or you can email us at family@kfuo.org. We want you to also check out our Wi-Fi radio giveaway program. We gave the first one away May the 31st. We had a whole month celebrating moms, and so we asked people to comment on why their mom should get the Wi-Fi radio. And we had great entries. We thank all of you for doing that. And this month of June, then, we're going to switch that and do dads. So enter your dad in that contest. All the details are on our webpage, kfuo.org, or on our Facebook page at KFUO Radio. So please do that. Check us out. A lot of other good stuff there that you'll find. And we welcome in Edie Rudder Wadsworth. I believe you're from the Knoxville, Tennessee area. Is that right, Edie?
That's right. Thank you for having me, Rod.
Oh, my pleasure. How's the summer going down there in beautiful Knoxville so far?
Good. We've had a little bit of a late start with all the rain, and it hasn't been quite as warm as normal. So a little late for us, I guess, like most of the country.
Yeah, same here. Same here. And I used to probably, gosh, 20, 30 years ago, I had a good friend going to school there in Knoxville, and so I visited, and the spring is so gorgeous there. You know, the south is, it smells so fragrant, all the, you know, the honeysuckle, magnolias, all that stuff out, just azaleas, it's just gorgeous.
It is gorgeous. It's really pretty. We were commenting the other day that you walk outside and there's 10 different shades of green. It's just beautiful.
Oh, so. Yeah, yeah. And that's it's neat how the Lord can paint with all those different shades of green plants. Just amazing
right.
Artist, that guy.
Yep.
now, staycations are really kind of fascinating because some people, not by even their choice, can't go anywhere on their vacation time. So they resign themselves to just sticking around and, you know, being bored. If they have kids, the kids get bored. And it shouldn't be, should it? I mean, staycations that I've been in, you set your heart and your mind, let's have a great staycation. Let's get creative. Let's get exotic. Let's get wild. What do you think of staycations, Edie?
I think they're great. I think especially with the economy that's been in a downturn, it's harder for families to travel like they might have done in the past. I know for our family, we travel a lot less than we used to, so we've gotten a lot more purposeful over the years about finding things, especially in the summertime, for our kids to do at home or around home. So I think it's definitely a growing phenomenon, and I think that even if, for me, you know, I homeschool my kids, and then I'm with them all summer. So
no break for you.
No break. Right. So I have definitely had to get creative with, you know, how we spend our time together. So I have some good ideas and some good, you know, websites to share with you that I think might help your listeners find some good ways to spend quality time with the kids.
Oh, excellent. Excellent. I knew that you would be just an excellent resource on all that. And I know from the little that I have looked at your blog, Edie, and your Facebook page, you are a very creative person. Am I right, too, that your training is as a medical doctor or something in that field? Is that right?
That's right. That's right. Yep. I trained as a MD and practiced for a few years when I got out of residency. My husband and I have kids, and our family kept growing, and we just felt like we needed somebody at home base, you know, to just be here for the kids. And so about six years ago now, I gave up my practice and have been home ever since. And we do homeschool our two youngest, and then with the older kids that are kind of in college and at home sometimes, we never know how many exactly we're going to have. So, I've enjoyed being home with the kids. It's definitely been a change. And I think what I've realized over the past few years is that it just helps to have some purpose with what you're doing, whether it's in the summertime, you know, or if you're planning a very specific staycation. It just helps to have somewhat of a plan and a little bit of a purpose to your days. And I've had to learn how to do that because it's all been new to me too.
Good. Now, that fascinates me because I have a book talk program too that I do on weekdays, and I had the most amazing guest here, Edie. She was a former English professor and head of women's studies at Syracuse University and a dedicated lesbian. I had a lesbian partner and everything, and the Lord grabbed a hold of this lady mightily. She gave up her lesbian way of life and her partner, became a dedicated Christian, married a Christian pastor. And the interesting part with what you were saying is the Lord led her to get out of the academic world. And now they've adopted like 5 kids, and she's a stay-at-home mom. Like, I was trying to get her to come on and do some other ministry things with me on the radio, and she said, you know, Rod, I can't do it. I'm too busy with my kids. And I said, Lord bless you in that, you know? That's an excuse I will accept and even promote. I mean, so you're kind of that way. And I like what you say, too, about your situation. You have to get creative. And also, I really appreciate when you said, when you do something like this, it's like a lot of things. You should have a focus. You should have a plan, some objectives, right?
Right. Yeah, and I think that it's one of the areas that just as a culture, I don't think we're trained very well how to do. I don't think that, you know, in the last 40 or 50 years, I don't think especially women are very well adept at being home, you know, and being homemakers and running a house and training kids. It's just not something that I felt very equipped to do. I was much better trained at being a physician. And so I feel like over the past few years, I've had to just, you know, learn some skills that I didn't have before. And I think that it helps, you know, the online communities help because it can put us in touch with people that are very creative and who have learned some good skills at being home for extended lengths of time with kids. But I do think it's so important, and I think that it does make an important statement to our kids. I know mine have said to me several times, like, you know, oh, what was it like when you worked? And I think they're fascinated by the fact that, you know, we've made this decision as a family to have me home, and I think it's been just great for our family. But the planning part of it and having a purpose with it, just over the last few years, you know, I've just gotten better at. I try not to go into a season blindly. It makes for long days.
So our listeners, Edie, might have a way to connect with you. Can you tell us how many children you and your husband have and the ages?
We do. We have 8 altogether.
Oh, wonderful.
Yep, and our 2 youngest are home with us full-time. One of our sons is living with us now, and then we have older kids that are in college or working, the oldest that's married. So right now we have 3 at home, and our 2 youngest that are homeschooled are 10 or 11 and 12.
Do you find, Edie, that as your children get older, that the keeping them engaged and you know, interested in things becomes more and more strained, or is it pretty consistent through the ages with your children?
Well, I think we have a lot to compete with today with media. And so we have been, with our younger kids, where we've had the chance to really, you know, be really intricately involved from the beginning, we've had a better chance to really grab their hearts and attention early. But I think, as parents, we have a lot to compete with. And that's why I think it's good to have, you know, some sort of plan. I find that with our youngest two, because they've been homeschooled, they've been home with us, you know, for several years, day in, day out, all the time, I find that it's less difficult with them. But I think that with, you know, technology and the way things are changing, I just think it is. In some ways, it's easier to connect, but in some ways, it's more difficult because everybody's so distracted with their devices.
Yeah.
You know, and you notice that you can all be home together, but all be home on a different device. And, you know, and so I think, you know, it helps to just not to despise the technology, of course, but to look at it for what it is. Let it be your servant, not your master. And we find that even with the younger kids, you know, we have to be careful about their screen time and make sure it's well balanced with lots of other good, you know, productive activities.
So lots of balance in their life and in the family life with devices. And, you know, from all the experts that we've had on and that I've talk to, they all say that same thing, you know, is control it, balance it, manage it, don't let it overwhelm your children or your family life. And I guess that would be even more critical in staycations. I did a little research, Edie, and I think you have a great point when you say that, you know, in today's world of technology, when you're homeschooling like you do, and I know my daughter has been doing that with some of our grandkids. She says, too, how wonderful it is for her to, you know, hook up with and network with other homeschooler people. It gives a lot of great ideas, a lot of good resources. And I think the same might bear true with staycations. One of the things that I heard about is have days where you call them unplug days, where you unplug everything, cell phones, except maybe an emergency one, the TV, the computer, you know, the internet, all that stuff. And it forces people to do what I know my wife does this with me is we go away together and she'll say, turn that iPhone off, you know,
right.
And just pay attention to me, you know. And
right.
So it's easy to do if we can, like you were saying, have an objective and a plan for a staycation where we occupy the day so much we don't even care about the devices anymore. And we go, gosh, I can live without the device. And it's actually fun.
I know. Last week we were visiting my husband's family. His father passed away, and we were visiting there and attending a funeral. And I was kind of like that, not totally unplugged, but pretty unplugged for a week. And it was wonderful. It's a great, it's just great to turn the devices off for a while, even if you decide, oh, it's just for a day or just for a week or however long. I know I have some friends who even go so far as to say no TV at all during the summer, and I've done that before with our girls, but this year we didn't make quite so sweeping of a statement, but we do keep the TV off until at night. And so I think that way the kids just don't keep asking all day, oh, can I go watch this or can I, you know, do this? So I think if you have some parameters up front that they know are in place, then they'll find other ways to entertain themselves, you know. And I think if you set that groundwork from the beginning, and I don't do it to the letter of the law. If there's a time when we all want to watch a movie during the day, then we would do it. But I think just having some parameters that the kids understand and know, it keeps everybody from, you know, being disappointed or asking you all day long if they can do something that you've decided beforehand you don't want to do.
So sure, if you could kind of, excuse me, if you can kind of do those up front and,
yeah,
and then be flexible with them, you're saying too, that you might break
right.
that and let them know why you're breaking the kind of set parameter, they'll go along with it and as you were saying, kind of be fine. Now, what are some of the favorite staycations that your family's enjoyed?
Well, you know, we live in a beautiful area. We're in East Tennessee, nestled right in the Smoky Mountains. And so staycations are really easy for us. You know, we live on a lake, and we're near hiking and lots of beautiful outdoor activities. So, you know, I guess it's kind of unfair. We might have an unfair advantage for staycations. But for us, what I tend to do, we don't do a lot of traveling in the summer, again, because we live in such a picturesque place. So for us, what I tend to do is just at the first of the summer, schedule some fun things, you know, that are close by us. And I think everybody knows in their own area, you know, what there is. For us, we have a great hiking place that we like to do once a year, and we take a picnic and go on a hike. And there's a beautiful old theater about an hour from us called Barter Theater, and they always have great summer shows. I think there's lots of water around here, so there's, you know, a chance for lots of water sports. So we just kind of, at the first of the summer, I just look up online and see what's going on around us, and we try to schedule. We don't do our, some people do it, you know, for 1 week. Oh, we're going to take a staycation, and it's going to last a whole week, and they might plan something every day. For us, we tend to just pick days here and there where there are good things going on around us, and we do ours like that. But, you know, I have a friend who just took a whole week with her family, and they plan something different every day here in our local area, and I think you just get creative with it. I think, you know, often we don't realize, I grew up in East Tennessee, and I'm still discovering things that I didn't even realize were here, you know. So I think if you pay attention to what's going on around you, there's probably in every area of the country lots of good summer activities for kids.
Sounds like that whatever area you are in, you could just spend some time with your kids exploring what's out there that maybe you aren't even aware of, right? Museums,
that's right.
Or art, or local historical sites, and, you know, day trips that wouldn't be too far away from the home base that you could get excited and do and find out. You know, the old laughable thing is that a lot of times people don't explore the tourist spots in their area until the tourists come in to visit.
I know.
Them. And then they like go, we've never been here either, right? So you go.
Right.
My wife are finding that. We just moved to St. Louis about a year ago, and we found things, and I've talked to people and say, wow, you've got this wonderful thing here, and they say, we've never gone. We've heard about it. We lived there all our life. And so it's fun, I guess, if you've been a place a long time, to try to find something you never explored and go explore it.
That's right. And I think that's, you know, that's kind of what we try to do at the first of the summer, since we usually are not taking a big trip. You know, we just try to find some stuff. There's some great plays on this summer, so we've got that scheduled in. And the same thing you were saying, museum, zoo, just, you know, a local water park, lots of fun things to do. But really, my kind of specialty, if I have one, is really just the day-to-day life with kids. And I try in the summertime to be pretty purposeful with that. I do want them to have plenty of unscheduled time. But I also think that if you remove the electronics, if there's a void of media and electronics, you need to fill that, you know, void with good things. And so we try, during our kind of regular summer day, we try to find productive things to do during the morning until lunchtime. And, you know, there's a whole host of things that we do. But one thing that we start with, which I think is a great habit to get into all year round, but we try to do the readings for the next Sunday. And we kind of start our morning with the readings from the church year calendar, and then, you know, have some breakfast together. And I think during the summertime we try to do things that are, that we might not normally do when we're busy. Homemade donuts, homemade bagels, homemade smoothies,
Wow.
Kind of more fun.
What time
breakfast.
Can we show up, Edie, and I'll try to do it a devotion for that kind of stuff. That sounds great.
Yeah. It kind of gives a good slow start, you know, to the morning.
Yeah. So kind of split their day up, you're saying, too, where the mornings you kind of engage together, and then maybe the lunch,
yes,
and then the other half you have a free time. And
that's,
I really
exactly
like what you're saying.
We do it.
What a nice thing if you can spread your staycation out throughout the entire summer rather than compact it as some have to do in a week or two, you know. Make it
right.
Staycation the whole summer.
Right. Yeah, and it gives, you know, it does. It gives the kids somewhat of some landmarks to look forward to. Okay, in June we're going to go see a play and go for a bike ride in this park. And at the 1st of July we're going to, you know, go for a hike in the Smoky Mountains. It kind of gives the kids, you know, some landmarks throughout the summer, things to look forward to.
You know, what I really liked about what you were saying, because you got the faith in the family here, the name of the show, is, you know, let's don't leave Jesus out in our vacation. Let's so don't, I always say, you know, take a vacation, but not from church and your faith. And
right.
So, you know, we've taught our kids that since they were little that we're on vacation, we always keep church in there and we always do devotions. And so I'm so excited when I hear that from you. And what a great idea to get the scripture readings for the next weekend and then all week be talking about those, you know. And I know if people can't have those resources at their house, you can ask your pastor, what's the readings for the next week, and then study those as a family.
Sure. And for the for people in the Lutheran Church, the LCMS website, that's what we get ours from. We print off the calendar for 2013, and we've been doing this for about 3 years. And I have to say, of all the things that we've implemented as a family, it's maybe my favorite, because it gives you a guide for your devotional life. And it keeps you steeped in the church year. So if you were to ask our girls, what season are we in? They know we're in Pentecost. And so I think that it gives you it gives them a landmark, you know, a way to know where we are.
Yeah.
And then when the pastor reads the readings on Sunday, the girls will look up like, oh, I recognize that. We just talked about that. And often, because our church uses the Growing in Christ curriculum, often their Sunday school, you know, it kind of mirrors the same thing, so that by the time we finish church on Sunday, those readings are very well integrated into them, and I really love that. And we often, we might read the first day of the week, we might just read the psalm, and then the next day we might read the first reading. We try to read the gospel a couple of different times before Sunday, but it's just a great way to start. It doesn't take that much time. We do usually do a short prayer from the Lutheran prayer book. It takes all of 10 or 15 minutes, but it's such a great way to start the days and to keep them oriented, you know, in the church year. So.
Have you found, Edie, that your kids and maybe even yourself of preparing yourself in that way, that even when the pastor preaches, or let's say they have it in Sunday school, the same lesson, that they're not bored. They're not probably more attuned. Are they more attuned to the Spirit to take them even deeper into the meanings of and the applications of that text?
That is so true. You might think it would be the opposite, like, oh, we've just read this all week, but just what you're saying is true. And before we started doing the readings together during the week, if we would ask our girls, what was the sermon about? They might or might not remember. But when you do the readings beforehand and then you have the sermon, it is such a good way to just reinforce the scriptures. It makes them way more interested. I think they pay better attention during the sermon. So
yeah.
It's just a great way to start. And I think that we kind of do that during the mornings. We today, for instance, we made the strawberry freezer jam. So we just try to make our mornings productive, and whatever we have going on, we just try to have productive mornings. The girls, I definitely think that it helps if you have a good reading schedule for the summer. And for the past 4 or 5 years, the girls and I have started a series together during the summer and done a lot of reading aloud. So one summer
we're reading the same kind of books together. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, wonderful, so wonderful.
So one summer we did Anne of Green Gables, and we read that aloud. And one summer we did Narnia.
Oh, wow, great stuff.
And then last summer, actually, because the girls are getting older, and we were about to study the ancient time period in history, we read the Odyssey aloud together.
Oh, wonderful.
And it was great. So I think if you have some purpose, you know, for your reading schedule. So it's not like you're saying to your kids, go off and read your book. You're saying, let's gather together.
And let's enrich each other, and the kids learn from that too. I knew, Edie, you'd be a great guest, and you're going to have so much more for us. So stick with us to hear Edie Rutter-Wadsworth talk about and give us some advice on staycations. You can call in as well. So come back with us here on Faith and Family.
Concordia University, Mequon, Wisconsin, overlooks the beautiful shoreline of Lake Michigan. This serene main campus of CUW is just 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with all its vibrant cultural attractions. At Concordia University, Wisconsin, students living by the motto of Inspiration in Action can choose from 69 undergraduate majors, 14 master degree programs, and doctorates in pharmacy, physical therapy, and nursing practice. For more information or to take a virtual tour, visit cuw.edu.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
In the Bible, Nathaniel asks, Nazareth, can anything good come from there? Of course, the answer was yes. For many Americans, France has the same reputation as Nazareth. Can anything good come from there? And again, the answer is yes. Certainly not on the level of our Savior, but very good news. A French court intervened in a case very similar to Terry Schiavo's. Family members were split in whether or not care should be given, even though the patient interacted on a limited basis with those around him. Vincent Lambert had been taken off food and water and was dying a slow, agonizing death. Unlike in Florida with Terry Schiavo, the outcome was good. Judge Catherine Monbrun ruled in favor of resuming basic care of food and water. Good news indeed.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
Do you need a caring Christian learning environment for your child with disabilities or special learning needs? Lutheran Association for Special Education partners with parents, educators, and schools by providing solution-focused expertise and encouragement. Students are surrounded by a supportive team of special educators and caring classroom teachers in 15 Lutheran schools. Lutheran Association for Special Education helps inspire the God-given potential of every child. For more information, 314-267-1234.
I'm Roland Lettner, coming up on this weekend's edition of Studio A. The Dead Sea Scrolls, well, at least little pieces of them, are up for sale. Would you like to buy one? Dr. Nathan Jastrom joins me for that. Pastor Nathan Metter on whether or not God listens to sinners when they pray. Why are we fascinated by dystopian worldview stories, end of the world? Pastor Rick Boschhoven on that. And then we wrap up with how the West really lost God.
Saturdays at 1 p.m. on Worldwide KFUO.
Human trafficking is the third fastest growing criminal industry. It impacts millions of people, including tens of thousands of immigrants, and reaches virtually every corner of the U.S. This trading in the bodies and souls of human beings is clearly condemned in Scripture. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Service launched the End Human Trafficking Campaign to help educate and mobilize Lutherans to make a difference. Together we can end human trafficking. LIRS.org/EHT.
The House Armed Services Committee has voted to let military chaplains pray in the name of Jesus or their faith's deity at general events outside religious services. New Hampshire Democrat Carol Shea Porter expressed concern, noting that at an event she attended,
there were Jewish men and women who died for this country, and yet the prayer did not reflect that. It only reflected Jesus Christ. And that's my faith, but I felt that others there might not have felt included.
But committee chairman Buck McKeon said,
I do not get offended when I hear somebody pray from another religion, and I hope they wouldn't get offended when somebody of my religion says a prayer.
Democrat Mike McIntyre of North Carolina pointed out,
the whole purpose is to invoke their own religious beliefs. Why not just have a vanilla chaplain corps if we're not going to let people pray according to the dictate of their conscience and why they were trained?
The amendment was added to a defense bill the full House could vote on next week. I'm Steve Coleman.
Thanks for sticking with us on Faith and Family. Temporary host Rod Zwanitz, you're just having a great time talking with Edie Rutter Wadsworth. You can join that conversation because we're talking about staycations. And I know Edie would be glad to speak with you, your questions, comments, not only about staycations, but about homeschooling. I know she's into that. You're into crafts. You're into so much. And I got to tell you, my daughter and granddaughters, Edie, they just adore your blog. You know, my daughter is going to be so excited. She's going to say, Dad, you got to talk with Edie on the program. I'm so envious. And you know, one of the things that I was going to share is that with my grandkids and my daughter and that, we went on a family vacation together. We rented a lake house up in northern Michigan for 2.5 weeks. And the greatest time that we had, and the grandkids are still talking about this, Edie, is that the first day I passed out the hymnals. I brought everybody a hymnal and a Bible, and I did the devotion. Then I said, I'm not going to require it. You know, I'm a professional theologian, so I'd be glad to do it every day. But I would be just so blessed if each of you could think about doing one of the day's devotions. And just and they would team up. Everybody wanted to do it with Grandma Bonnie, you know. But then some of them did it by themselves. And you know what? It was the marvel of when you have to prepare God's Word yourself to feed the rest of us at breakfast. You get so much more out of it, as you know, if you're the one has to prepare and present it. And they're still talking about it, Edie. They call me up and they say, Grandpa, you influenced so much with how you did your creativity and devotions. And so I really like what you were saying in this staycation to, you know, in your preparatory kind of planning of having that morning together as a family unit, doing stuff together and starting it with the Word of God around breakfast or that. That's what we were doing. And how neat is that? Kids are going to have those memories the rest of their lives.
I know. What a great idea. I love that. We don't sing enough. You know, we did that during the school year for a while. We would sing a hymn, too, after our devotions, and we've kind of got out of practice of that, but that would be a great thing to add, too.
Yeah. And in our family, the more we did it, the more we have fun. So you were talking, too, about something that I know my daughter really is into, because we're bookaholics. And,
yes.
You know, she started reading with her kids when they were little, and they're still doing it. And so how neat is that? Because, you know, we all know that are into books. The movies are just not the same. They're just not as good as the book version. And the book is just so deep. And to let kids start to have that, the power of words, I think the Lord uses that. Do you agree?
I do. And that reminds me of the book, I think Gene Veith wrote it, but the first chapter, I can't remember the title of the book, but it's talking about we are people of the Word,
mm-hmm.
and that even in our image-centered culture and society, we will always be people of the Word. And I think giving your kids the gift of the love of reading is such a blessing for them their whole life. And I think for us, too, in our, maybe it's just our culture, we think, reading aloud is for little kids, you know, and once they get a little older, they're too old for that. But it's one of the, it's really one of the happiest memories we all have together is when we read aloud and we enjoy a book together. And I think they don't get too old for that. So, you know, find a book that you all like and are interested in, or a series of books. And even if you spend 20, 30 minutes a day reading aloud together, it's just time that you won't regret. And I can tell you, if they're like my kids, they'll just ask you to read just one more chapter, just one more chapter.
Yeah. And isn't it cool, I think, the exchange for them to hear your ideas about the passages that you're in the book you're reading. And what I always get amazed with is their perspective and their views of what we've just read together.
Right.
I love that.
Yes. I think it's my favorite thing to do. And I think having, you know, like I said, some sort of purpose with your summer reading is great. Some kids will have, you know, assigned reading for the next school year. But if they don't, I think it's good to help them find a series that they might be interested in, or an author that they like. And that way they can, you know, look forward to the next book, kind of keep busy all summer with their reading. So we try to have something that we're reading all together, and then the kids, you know, have their own books that they like. But it's a huge part of what makes summer fun, I think, just the extra time you have to read together.
Now, I've got to ask you, because I have sensed this on your Facebook page and your blog, and that you are really into crafts, and you're also really an amazing interior decorator. And the latter is what I really like. And I'm looking here at this touch of gold on a table.
Yeah.
And the way you pose things, I mean, which I'm really into, and it looks like you have antlers there. Do you do that kind of in staycations and with your kids and your family, or is this just you?
Yeah. And I think I do, and I think this is the room that you're talking about that's on the front page of my blog right now is My daughter is 12, and she wanted to have her own room. So we've been planning together for a couple of months. We've been collecting pictures that inspire us, talking about what she wanted for her room. So that's our big summer project, is to work on her room and get it done before the next school year starts. So, yeah, and I think it's fun if you can do something like that together. So, you know, it's not even close to being done, but we've got a good start on it, and it'll give us, you know, just a productive, fun way to spend our time together. So I think if you can find something like that around the house, whether it's a little garden outside or some room that you can reorganize, or, you know, clean out the garage, there's all kinds of fun ways that you can let your kids be involved in that, you know, that gives them some focus. It's funny because when we first started doing this room, this was the craft room, and it was just chock full of everything you can imagine. And it seemed daunting to me, like, oh, I don't, you know, I didn't mind if she wanted to move in here, but just moving all the craft stuff out. But those girls were just so motivated, and they got in here and packed up all the craft stuff, all the stuff that we could live without for a while. And you know, so they are very motivated to do it. And so, it's been a fun project. And you were talking about the arts and crafts. And, you know, I didn't grow up doing a lot of that. So this is all, you know, new for me in the last 10 years. But I've so enjoyed it. And I think it's one of those things that, again, with the digital age, our culture, unfortunately, has gotten away from. And so we try to be pretty purposeful about that, too. We try to, you know, schedule certain things on certain days. This morning, the girls were making cute friendship bracelets, and that was their little project for the day. And I'm traveling in about 2 weeks to Nicaragua with Compassion, so they were making these little friendship bracelets for the girl to give away to the little girls that we sponsor there. So, but there's just so many good ideas, and with the website Pinterest, where there's just tons of good ideas on how to spend time doing arts and crafts. One of our other favorite things that I would recommend to your listeners is I bought the girls watercolor journals a few months back, and those are really, really fun because the pages are really hard, thick, you know, cardstock, so that you can use watercolors on them without them wrinkling up. And so some days we'll go outside and, you know,
I didn't know there's such a thing, but that sounds fascinating. Lena, let's stop here. We have a caller from Indianapolis who wants to talk about reading to children. Sarah, listening there in Indianapolis, thanks for listening. Thanks for calling in.
Hi. I called because I heard you talking about reading aloud with your children, and we had a summer reading program at our library, and my daughter and I did a lot of reading aloud for that, and she even ended up working at the library for the summer reading program when she was a teenager. But the reason I called was because when you were talking about having the devotion in the morning, I had heard on a radio program, and I don't remember which one, about a woman telling her experiences with her children. She was homeschooling them, and she decided that she was going to read the entire Bible through with them, and one of her children was 4 years old when she started. When she got to Leviticus, she skipped it the first time. But when she got to Hebrews, she found, no, she has to go back and read Leviticus aloud with her children. And the interesting thing was that after they got done with their reading for the day, her children would go on their own and act out the stories.
That's
so wonderful. I was really impressed. I was so impressed that she read through the entire Bible with her children. I wish I would have done that, but, of course, it's too late now. I'll just start over with the grandkids.
There you go. There you go. Do it with the grandkids. Absolutely, Sarah.
So, thank you.
Oh, thanks, Sarah. Thanks for listening and calling in there in Indianapolis. You know, Edie, what's neat about all this is when we hear others, it brings back good memories. And it stimulates us to try new things, you know, like Sarah saying, now I could do this with my grandkids, you know. And,
right.
You know, what I'm so proud of, and I didn't even do this intentionally, oh gosh, for I won't tell you how many decades now, I've been into gourmet cooking. It's one of my real loves, and I've did it forever. And so one time I was with my older granddaughter, and I did it with my daughter too, and we were in a vacation, and I said, how would you like to help Grandpa cook a meal? And she said, oh, I'd love that. I think she's about six or seven. So I let her kind of help me design some stuff. I showed her some recipes and pictures, and we did this meal. She was so proud. So it was an annual thing when we'd ever get together. Oh. It's like, Grandpa, can we cook a meal for everybody else? And I'd let her plan it. Well, now she just graduated from high school. Guess what she's going to be? And her grandpa's so proud. She's going to be a chef, a culinary chef. And, you know, so our staycations were a lot of times, because we couldn't afford it, was, hey, let's put together on a feast with what we can do. And then I want to suggest a book, too, because he became a good buddy of mine. I've had him on the show twice. He's a former chef for the White House, a Christian named Russell Cronkite. He's got one book. I interviewed him on twice now. It's called Return to Sunday Dinners, to have the formal Sunday dinner as much as you can and have time for Jesus in that meal. And then he's got another one called Return to Family Picnics. It's out of print, but I bought one used. I just checked it out this morning on Amazon. You get one for a penny.
Wow.
And you get a new one up to $7.50, and it has, I don't know, maybe 30 or 40 great picnic ideas. And then you can take the family, let them help you put together the picnic basket, go to a really neat site. You got one right next to you there, the Smoky Mountains. How great is that? And I know other areas have it. And you know, do a special meal together, a picnic, a gourmet meal, whatever the weather, on a rainy day, it's a great thing to do. We had great fun, you know, planning the meal, putting together the shopping list, and then showing my daughter how to pick good produce, blah, 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 good fish.
And you're right. There's so many opportunities there for learning that I think we maybe as a culture haven't taught our kids, but I'd love that. And I think that the more they're with us side by side, you know, you assume they know things like that, like how to pick out produce, but they don't.
No.
And so the more you can have them at your side doing things like that, and summertime's a great time to make food fun. You know, I always make a little list. Okay, let's get stuff for s'mores, and let's make homemade pizzas, and let's do homemade ice cream sundaes, and you know, a taco bar.
If you're into crafts, or you're into interior decorating, like you and your daughter did, or you're into building something, you know, if it's the guys, you know, there's just endless possibilities here to do stuff together and find out what they're interested in or what you might want to explore together and go and do it, huh?
Yeah, and I think a good idea, a lot of my online friends do this, but, you know, if you make a summer list and let everybody in the family add things to it, like, what do you want to do this summer? Oh, I want to go to a drive-in movie. I want to go to the water park. Oh, I want to have a camp out and make s'mores. Let everybody add to it. And before you know it, you'll be hoping that summer lasts longer because you have so many things to do and, you know, such little time to fit it in.
Yeah, they
and
have to flow into Indian summer, right?
Yeah, and if you start to look at it that way, you realize that it's so short. A good blogger friend of mine used to post about her summers with her boys, and she would say, I only have 18 summers, you know, before they leave.
Yeah.
And when you look at it like that, you're not wishing the time away, but you're trying to figure out ways to connect with them, make good memories with them. And I think there's so many great, creative, productive things to do. And I like the balance. I think that we sometimes, you know, we can make our kids into little hedonists if we just say, if we just make, you know, 3 months of summer all about fun. And so I think it's good to integrate, you know, productive things in there, service projects for other people, you know, finding ways to have a balance of things that are productive and add value to the family and to your community, and then also things that you do, you know, just for fun. But I think a balance of that is great. And breaking up the day where, you know, part of the day is for being productive, and then the rest of the day you can have fun. But the days can get long, but I also think there's just so many good things to do that if you break it into bite-sized chunks like that, it's gone before you know it, and you wish you'd had more time.
What do you think of this one? A friend shared this with me. In the summer, they do this every now and then. They call it a wacko day. And they get up in the morning, and they keep their PJs on all day. And then they have dessert for breakfast.
Oh,
they have desserts for breakfast. And then they skip lunch, and they have breakfast at dinner. And they call it wacko day.
That's
and every day they're trying, every year they're trying to do different wacko things. And the kids, yeah, and kids get to kind of help pick. And so I'd never tried that, but it sounds fun, doesn't it?
It does sound fun, and I think that's a great idea for some way to, you know, break up the week, break up the day. I have a friend who has a blog online, and she does craft days every Thursday. So her kids, you know, okay, on Thursdays we're going to make fun, do some arts and crafts. You know, something fun like that, and they do it on a specific day. My girls tend to, you know, we have our art and craft supplies ready to use and out on the table at all times, so they never wait till Thursdays. But I think it's good if, you know, you had some kind of a rhythm to the days like that.
Yeah.
You know, again, I think it makes it easier. I also wanted to mention a few things that we've done in the past that I think are really fun. One is I have a little garden out by my, right off my garage that has herbs and, you know, it's not very big, but last year the girls made a little fairy garden and that was so much fun for them. While I'm, you know, doing my garden, they can play in their little fairy garden. And I think, that's a fun activity for kids that can take up lots of time. The other thing that we love to do at night is stargaze. So there's great websites where you can download and print off what constellations are visible, you know, at what times of year. And since you can stay up later in the summer, we love that. And my husband has an iPad, and on his iPad is an app, actually, where if you hold the iPad up, it will show you the constellation on the screen that you're looking at.
Oh, wow, so you get the reference of what you're looking at.
Yes, it's so fantastic.
Now, what would you Google search, like stargazing, to find some of that?
Yep, okay. Stargazing or an app for iPads for stargazing. But I think, again, because our world is so artificially lit, we don't take advantage of the beautiful skies at night. So we even sometimes will go out on our boat at night just to do that.
Wonderful idea. I'm writing this down for my wife and mine staycation. Excellent.
That's a fun one to
excellent.
Do. Yeah. That one has been lots of fun.
You said you might have some other resources to share with our listeners.
I was going to just a couple of websites that I use a lot during the summer. One is called Deep Space Sparkle. And there are lots of art projects for kids on there that are easy to do and fun. One is called Art Projects for Kids. And then, again, it's just a fun website full of good ideas. I forgot to write down the name of that app. But if you just search app for iPhone or iPad, for stargazing, you'll be able to find one. But that one, we love that one. We use it a lot. And then that's all I wrote down for the website. But I also just wanted to mention we often will start a puzzle in the summer. And just when the days are too hot or it's raining, having a puzzle going, a 500 or 1,000-piece puzzle, those are always fun and easy to do. And then for water, I was thinking of things for the water. We do a lot of water balloons, sprinklers, water guns. Nothing cures, you know, crabby summer attitudes like water.
Yeah.
And you can do that without, you know, without ever leaving home. So we even had our girls out yesterday washing off our golf cart. And, you know, it took them a couple of hours. They had a great time. They squirted each other with the water hose. So just all kinds of, you know, fun stuff you can do at home without ever leaving.
I wanted to ask you too, Edie, had you ever did, and I've heard some people that did this, and I was always envious, that in their staycation, they planned a Christian service event. You know, found somebody in need or an organization that they thought they were interested in, and then they did something for him. You know, visit the shut-ins, made special cards and treats and took it. And I thought, what a great bonding, teaching medium for a family to do together on a staycation.
Exactly. And I think, you know, in our area, there are lots of things we could get involved in. But to be honest, within our friend and family circle, there's always somebody, it seems like, who's in need. There's, you know, a new couple with a baby that you could make a meal for, or, like you say, a shut-in that you could take to lunch or bring food to. It, you know, you don't have to look very far.
No, is what I'm saying. Or even
and
college kids that are far away from home to do something with them. So the endless possibilities there.
Right. And I think again, we live in such a self-centered culture that I'm very deliberate about teaching my kids to think about others. You know, when we were away last week at the funeral, all the way there, I kept saying, you know, this is going to be a really stressful time for your dad and for grandma and for your aunts and uncles, and try to think of ways you can be of service and try not to think of yourself. And, you know, and I think if we're just deliberate about teaching our kids to think of others first, and ways that they can serve, ways that they can be a blessing, it really sinks in, you know, and they really do, you know, even at their young, tender ages, they really do want to be a blessing and do want to help. And I think that if you're, the more deliberate we can be about teaching them that, the better, I think.
And I think in the wake of that, we get blessed and, you know, our focus remains on others too, by
right.
trying to help our kids out. So how good is that?
Maybe more so even than, you're right, maybe it does that even more so than them. They probably don't need as much reminding as we do.
Yeah. You know, I used to, when I was in the parish ED, I would tell my members consistently the thing that the Lord had blessed me with is, you know, the old saying, take 2 aspirins and call me in the morning, that's not it. The real secret is go and help somebody other than yourself. And it will revolutionize your perspective. And I that's so true for me, you know, that if I can keep on somebody else, I'm my issues and that diminish and they lighten up.
Yeah, and I will mention, just since you said that, I wrote an ebook back in the fall about that very issue, and if nothing else, it really did change my heart about how I view others and how we interact with our neighbor and how we can serve him, and even more important than any other neighbor are the ones that live in our own house, and
sure,
how we can serve
sure.
each other and help each other, and that doing that study on that, it really helped me see that, you know, we're all just selfish and self-centered, and we need the constant reminder to put others first.
How neat too that you added that we need to remember the others in our own household, and sometimes we can forget about that and go to strangers. And you know, Luther said something I really liked. He said that we are to be little Christ. The way I think of it, and I think Luther talked of it, is I just hope that at few moments somebody sees Jesus working through me. And you know, how neat in your own household, in your staycation.
And I think, don't you think that often those are the hardest people to love?
Absolutely.
You know,
so I'm so glad you brought that up.
Yeah.
Edie, we have had such a wonderful time having you on. I hope you did. Thank you for your energy and your creativity and your family staycations and sharing that with us. And we're going to try to find some topic we can get you back on.
Oh, I so appreciate it. Thank you very much for having me. I enjoyed it.
And keep up that great blog, and we love your sharing and on the Wittenberg Trail with the Issues, Etc. Journal. So God bless to you and all your family there in Knoxville, Tennessee area.
Thank you.
Thanks for being on. Tune in tomorrow when we'll talk more about fun in the sun here on Faith and Family.